Valuing Commercial Real Estate. Introduction. Much of the value of most commercial property is based on its income stream or how much return on investment it will realize. However, the best determination of value comes from a professional appraiser. An appraisal is defined as an appraiser's opinion of value. For a property to have value, it must have four characteristics. Remember the characteristics of value with the acronym DUST, bullet, demand. There must be sufficient demand for the property for it to have value. Without demand, it is of little or no value. Bullet, utility. The property must be able to fulfill a need. Utility does not necessarily mean development. The property may have utility to an investor who holds it for future gain or development. Bullet, scarcity. If a type of property in a market area is too abundant, it will have a reduced value. If a market is flooded with properties for sale, values will remain flat. Bullet, transferability. If, for some reason, a property cannot be transferred, it is of little value. The lack of transferability may be due to a title flaw that cannot be cured, government regulations, or restrictions that make transfer impossible. Market value. Market value is one of the most commonly misunderstood appraisal concepts. Many sellers and buyers are convinced that a given property has a specific market value, and they mistakenly believe that the appraiser's task is to discover this finite value. Because the appraisal is an opinion of value, two or more appraisers operating independently of each other will arrive at different values. This difference does not necessarily indicate that one is in error. A firm grasp of the concept of value is essential to understanding appraisal methods. The question, "What is the value of the property?" is foremost in the minds of all real estate buyers, sellers, investors, and lenders. Market value is the most probable price a property should bring in a competitive and open market, under all conditions requisite to a fair sale, under guidelines published by federal lending institutions, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. Such conditions include the assumption that the buyer and the seller acted prudently and knowledgeably, and that the price is not affected by undue stimulus. Forming an opinion of market value is the purpose of many real property appraisal assignments, particularly when the client's intended use includes more than one intended user. The conditions included in market value definitions establish market perspectives for the development of the opinion. These conditions may vary from definition to definition, but generally fall into three categories. 1. The relationship, knowledge, and motivation of the parties, that is, seller and buyer. 2. The terms of sale, for example, cash, cash equivalent, or other terms. And 3. The conditions of sale, for example, exposure in a competitive market for a reasonable time prior to sale. The value of a property may be affected by social, economic, governmental, and environmental influences. An appraiser must be aware of these influences and possible changes in them that could affect market value. Appraisers will base their opinion of value upon several factors, including bullet location, how close the property is to the city center, transportation, major roads, retail/dining, etc. Bullet condition. How much deferred maintenance is present? How good or bad the condition of the property is? Bullet amenities. Technology, conference space, on-site dining, fitness center, parking, security, energy-efficient appliances, outdoor space. Many appraisers who specialize in appraising commercial properties and advising real estate investors earn the Member of the Appraisal Institute, MAI, designation. MAIs are experienced, knowledgeable individuals who must adhere to the strict Appraisal Institute Code of Professional Ethics and Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice. Price does not necessarily equal value. Price is the amount of money for which a particular property sold. Many factors can cause a price to rise above or fall below market value. Market data method. Appraisers will often use the market data method, also called the sales comparison approach, to appraise rental houses, often in conjunction with a desired cap rate. they begin by finding comparable properties that have recently sold, then preparing a CMA, much like a residential agent would do to help a seller price a property. In an ideal world, the appraiser would locate comparable sales that match the subject property exactly. While an exact match is not generally possible, especially in commercial real estate, the appraiser must select sales that are most like the subject. When there are differences between the subject property and a comparable sale, the appraiser must make adjustments to value, either up or down. For example, an appraiser is valuing a dry cleaner. The appraiser must find similar dry cleaners that have sold in the past 3 to 6 months in similar locations. What if there are no comparable properties that have sold in the recent past? The appraiser will either have to use old comps or employ another method of valuation. The market data approach is best used to value existing properties. Cost approach. The cost approach to the market value of the property considers how much a new structure of this size and type would currently cost to build. The cost approach is commonly used for unique properties for which there is little market activity. The cost approach is used for special purpose buildings, such as churches and bowling alleys. The appraiser applies the current industry and market price estimates for the underlying land, building supplies, and construction costs. Depreciation. After determining the replacement cost of the structure, the appraiser calculates a value for depreciation. Depreciation is the reduction in the value of property from causes such as deterioration or obsolescence. Types of depreciation include physical deterioration, functional obsolescence, and external obsolescence. The appraiser then subtracts depreciation from the new cost to determine the depreciated value of the structure. The next step in the cost approach is to add the land value to arrive at a total estimated value. The appraiser determines the value of the land as if it were vacant. While land values may decrease in the market, land is treated as a separate item under the cost approach and is never depreciated. Physical deterioration. Physical deterioration is the loss in a property's value due to daily wear and tear. All properties experience this type of depreciation over time. However, with above average maintenance and upkeep, some properties experience less than average physical deterioration. Examples of physical deterioration that an appraiser should note on the appraisal report include a leaky roof, inadequate floor coverings, or an overall need for repainting. Because it involves factors under the control of the property owner, physical deterioration is the easiest form of depreciation to cure and has the least effect on the value of the property. This type of deterioration can be addressed through repairs and systems replacement done by the owner or a contractor. Functional obsolescence. Functional obsolescence is the loss in the desirability of the style, layout, or function of a property over time. For example, an old apartment building that has deteriorated to the point that it is no longer fit for occupancy and no longer functions as it was intended. External obsolescence. External obsolescence refers to the loss in value of a property caused by factors outside of the property itself. Such influences include the oversupply and consequent drop in demand for a particular kind of property, as well as government actions like zoning changes or condemnation proceedings, and proximity to undesirable land uses like highways or factories. External obsolescence is sometimes referred to as environmental or economic obsolescence. Income approach. Gross rent multiplier. The income approach to appraisal will be used when there are a notable number of rental properties in the area. The calculation begins with a review of comparable rental rates and market values in the subject property's area. These rates are then used to compute a gross rent multiplier, GRM. The GRM is the relationship between the amount of rent a specific property can command and the value of the property to the owner. This number is neighborhood specific as it is a factor based on location and rent, a price per rent. Residential investment properties are generally purchased to provide income to the buyer. Therefore, the income approach to appraisal can be used on these properties. License holders or appraisers may use the GRM as a simple technique to determine a range of value. This number, when multiplied by the monthly rent, gives an estimate of value for the property. GRM times monthly rent equals price. Example 1. GRM. If the GRM is $150 and monthly rent on a single-family house is $1,000, then the value of the house is 150 times $1,000 equals $150,000. A GRM is calculated by taking the property value and dividing it by monthly rent. If you know the value of the property and the monthly rent, you can find the GRM. Price divided by monthly rent equals GRM. Example 2. GRM. If a property in a neighborhood is valued at $175,000 and charges $1,000 in monthly rent, then the GRM on that property is $175,000 divided by $1,000 equals $175. GIM. For multi-unit residential, properties AGIM is used. The formula is the same as that for the GRM, but is based on annual rent rather than monthly rent. GIM times annual rent equals price. The GRM/GIM method of valuation is not as popular in commercial real estate investment because it does not take into account location, condition, or vacancy, and is mainly used as a means of determining the value for small residential properties, rent houses. Capitalization rates. For an investor, the net income of a property is a major indicator of the value of the property. One measure of the value of a property is its income capitalization rate, or cap rate. The capitalization rate is found by dividing the net income, NOI, of a property by its value or sales price. Example: cap rates. If a property was offered for sale at $550,000 and the net income was $55,000, what is the capitalization rate? Step 1. Divide the net income by the sales price. $55,000 divided by $550,000 equals 10%. Answer: the capitalization rate is 10%. Investors often have a predetermined capitalization rate based upon their own financial objectives and will value a property accordingly. The value, to an individual investor, is determined by dividing the net income by the desired rate. $55,000 divided by 10% equals $550,000. Typically speaking, the higher the risk, the higher the rate. If cap rates are high, this drives the NOI needed up. In order to increase the NOI of an income property, the investor must increase the rents. Remember the acronym IRV. By using IRV, we can find the income, the return on investment, or the value of an investment property. Consider the following property with a net income of $75,000. If similar properties in the market are selling at prices that yield an investor a return of 8%, the estimated value can be determined by using the IRV formula, where I equals income, R equals return on investment, and V equals value. We divide $75,000 by 0.08. The value of the property is $937,500. For a given property, IRV can be used to calculate the income needed to achieve a certain rate of return. We multiply 0.08 by $937,500 to derive the income. Therefore, if the investor's objective is to earn a return of at least 8%, the net annual income of the property must be at least $75,000. Think of a cap rate as a risk-reward ratio. What reward is the investor willing to accept in relation to the risk he or she perceives in the investment? Properties with lower cap rates will theoretically carry a lower risk for the investor, but they are often priced higher. Higher cap rates can indicate issues with the property, such as age, deferred maintenance, or other condition issues that make it a riskier investment. Many investors employ the strategy to purchase a property when it is beat up at a high cap rate, then sink money into rehabbing it. Once the property has been rehabilitated, they can raise the rents, increasing NOI, and then sell it at a lower cap rate to make money. Higher risk equals higher reward. It pays to network and know people in the business. Commercial appraisers, a friend at a major commercial brokerage firm, who know what is going on economically in the region, because you can ask them what cap rates they are using for certain types of properties in defined locations. For example, the cap rate on a grocery store-anchored suburban shopping center. Often, sellers are overly optimistic about their properties and want to list them with a high NOI and a low cap rate. The buyer should be more pessimistic because he or she wants to purchase property with a lower NOI and a high cap rate. The job of the commercial agent is to negotiate it to a point in the middle. A cap rate is only as good as the information you have. It is subjective and can depend on location. National anchor stores usually have a lower cap rate because they are considered a lower risk. Mom-and-pop stores will have a higher cap rate because they carry more risk for investors. The use of cap rates to value real estate is more accurate if you pay cash. Discounted cash flow analysis. Discounted cash flow analysis, DCF, can be used to value real estate and employs discount factors, discount or interest rates, to project the return on an investment. It works by forecasting the expected future cash flow of an investment, like the income from a property. This analysis allows for the fact that income streams fluctuate over time and discounts that future income of an investment to its present value. This analysis assumes that the investment will be sold and that the cash flow will end at a particular point in time, say 5 years. Real estate investors are extremely interested in what is happening to the money that they invest. This interest calls for a detailed analysis of the investment. The four most basic yet important questions a real estate investor can ask about an investment are: 1. How much money goes into this investment? Dollars in. 2. When does the money go into this investment? Timeline for dollars in. 3. How much money will I make on this investment? Dollars out. 4. When do I get the money out of this investment? Timeline for dollars out. It is important to understand that profit in real estate investment is not realized right away. There is often a holding period of at least 5 years. For large investments like those acquired by REITs, the holding period is often much longer. Investors often estimate what their investment's cash flow will be years into the future. So how do they know what the value of that cash flow is in the present? Simply stated, if you have an investment that you hold for 5 years, at the end of that 5 years, will the dollar have the same value that it did at the beginning of the investment? One cannot assume that it will. This is why investors use the discounted cash flow analysis method. Discounted cash flow analysis is a projection of what the property's income will look like in the future. It is not exact, nor is it guaranteed. The income could be less, or it could be more. In order to make the projections, investors will look at what has happened historically with the rents over the last several years. Net present value and internal rate of return. The net present value, NPV, along with the internal rate of return, IRR, are based on the discounted cash flow analysis. Calculating NPV. No one can predict the future performance of an investment, so how does an investor know whether or not a property is going to be a good investment in the long term? Investors use calculations to value an income-producing property according to their initial cash investment, cash outflow, and yearly cash flow produced by the property, cash inflow. Think of it as cash out of your pocket and cash in your pocket. Your initial investment will be a negative number because it costs you money, cash outflow. Each subsequent year that you hold the property, it will be producing income, cash inflow. The initial cash outflow is always present value because it is paid in the present time. The subsequent years of projected cash flow, year one, year two, etc., will happen in the future, and we cannot predict what the future value of those cash flows will be, so we have to discount them back to what they would be worth in the present day, present value. C equals cash flow, R equals rate, percent. T equals time, period of investment. T will change from year to year. So at year one, T equals one, At year 2, t equals 2, year 3, t equals 3, and so on. There is complicated math involved in these calculations, and most investors plug the values into Excel spreadsheets, financial software suites, or financial calculators that do the math for them. For our purposes, we will keep things simple. Example: calculating net present value. Imagine you are interested in purchasing an 8-unit multifamily property that you will hold as an investment for 5 years and sell the 6th year. The property will cost you $550,000, and it produces $44,000 NOHI annually in its present condition. The cap rate is 8%. Your initial investment will cost you $550,000. Assume you pay cash. We do not have to discount the initial investment as it is already at its present value. Since we do not know what the value of the dollar will be worth 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years into the future, we have to discount each of the projected cash inflows to their present value. With the process of reversion, you would assume the 8% cap rate when selling in year 6. The chart below shows the projected cash flows for each year. Year 0, minus $550,000. Year 1, $44,000. Year 2, $46,500. Year 3, $48,000. Year 4, $46,500. Year 5, $50,000. Year 6, $53,000. Step 1. Calculate the present value of each yearly cash inflow. PV of 1 equals $44,000 divided by 1 plus 0.08 to the power of 1 equals $40,740.74. PV of 2 equals $46,500 divided by 1 plus 0.08 squared equals $39,866.26. PV of 3 equals $48,000 divided by 1 plus 0.08 to the power of 3 equals $38,103.95. PV of 4 equals $46,500 divided by 1 plus 0.08 to the power of 4 equals $34,178.89. PV of 5 equals $50,000 divided by 1 plus 0.08 to the power of 5 equals $34,029.16. Step 2. Add your initial investment, cash outflow, to the total of the discounted cash inflows. This will give you the net present value. NPV equals minus $550,000 plus $186,919 equals minus $363,081. Step 3. Assume the cap rate is the same for year 6. Using reversion, find the sales price and then discount it back to the present value. $53,000 divided by 0.08 equals $662,500 sales price. $662,500 divided by 1.08 to the power of 6 equals $417,000 plus $186,919 equals $603,919 discounted present value. Step 4. Subtract your initial investment from the discounted present value to determine loss or profit. $603,919 minus $550,000 equals $53,919 profit. Example: calculating net present value. The general rule of finance tells us that if the net present value, NPV, is greater than zero, then it is a good investment. If, however, the NPV is less than zero, it is not a good investment. NPV greater than zero equals good. NPV less than zero equals not good. Often, as long as the NPV is positive, an investor may decide to purchase the property even if it may initially seem that it is not a good investment. There are many factors that an investor will consider before making a decision. Calculating internal rate of return, IRR. The internal rate of return, IRR, is another calculation investors use to analyze investment properties to make decisions on whether or not to purchase them for their portfolios. IRR is very similar to NPV. However, the investor is looking for a discount rate that will cause the NPV to be equal to zero. Why does the investor want the NPV to be equal to zero? He wants it to equal zero because he wants to find the break-even rate at which he is neither gaining nor losing money, so that he can compare it to the returns on other properties. After performing the calculations, the investor will have a picture of the kind of return he can expect from a particular property after a certain number of years. Cash-on-cash return. Cash-on-cash return, also known as the equity dividend rate, or even as return on investment, ROI, is calculated by dividing a property's yearly cash flow, after debt service, by the amount of cash needed to purchase the property. This number is significant to real estate investors. A real estate investor looks at the cash-on-cash number to determine whether or not a property is a good investment. Yearly cash flow divided by cash required to buy property equals cash-on-cash. Example 1. Cash-on-cash. A rent house costs $200,000, all in cash. The property rents for $2,000 per month. The yearly operating expenses are $3,150, which includes insurance, maintenance, and HOA fees. Taxes, $6,400. Insurance, $1,000. HOA, $650. Miscellaneous, $1,500. What is the cash-on-cash return? Step 1. Find the yearly property rent. $2,000 times 12 equals $24,000 per year. Step 2. Total the yearly operating expenses. $6,400 plus $1,000 plus $650 plus $1,500 equals $9,550. Step 3. Deduct the yearly operating expenses from the yearly property rent to find the yearly cash flow. $24,000 minus $9,550 equals $14,450, NOI pre-tax. Step 4. Divide the yearly cash flow, NOI, by the purchase price, the amount needed to purchase the property. $14,450 divided by $200,000 equals 0.07225 equals 7.23%. Answer. 7.23% cash-on-cash return. Cost of financing. Many investors do not pay cash upfront on a real estate deal. Instead, they prefer to spread out their risk by financing real estate purchases. In this way, they do not tie up all of their available cash in any one property. Debt can be the best friend of a real estate investor, at the right interest rate, of course. Investors leverage debt when interest rates are low in order to increase their returns. Real estate investors would rather take $200,000 and buy 5 rental properties, spreading the risk out, than buy only one for $200,000, tying up their available cash. The cash-on-cash return example. One on the previous page supposes that the investor used cash on hand to purchase the property. What if the investor took out a loan to purchase the same rental property? Example 2. Cash-on-cash. An investor obtains financing at an 80% LTV at a 4% rate, interest only, giving him $40,000 in equity. Cash in the deal? $200,000 minus $160,000 equals $40,000. The debt service is $6,400. Step 1. Deduct the debt service from the NOI, $14,450 minus $6,400 equals $8,050, is the cash flow. Step 2. Divide the NOI by the equity, the cash the investor has in the deal. $8,050 divided by $40,000 equals 0.20125 equals 20%. Answer, 20% cash-on-cash return. The example above illustrates that using debt requires less cash out of pocket, resulting in a higher rate of return. Investors use debt whenever the interest rate paid on the debt is lower than the return that the investment generates. This is called positive leverage. Investors use leverage to make money. They use debt to increase their returns. If the reverse is true, and the interest paid is higher than the return on investment, an investor will be in a negative leverage situation. Therefore, defeating the purpose of leveraging debt to spread out risk. Calculating interest. Interest is money paid at a particular rate for the use of money loaned to a person or entity. It is the cost of borrowing money. It is generally calculated on an annual percentage rate. Simple interest. The basic formula for computing simple interest is principal times rate times time equals interest, or I equals PRT, interest slash rate equals principal, interest divided by principal equals rate. Note, time must be brought up to an annual amount in order for the formula to work correctly. Time can be semi-annual equals 6 months, quarterly equals 4 times per year, yearly equals 12 months, 1 quarter equals 3 months. Using the T formula to solve simple interest problems. Bullet. The yearly interest is the part. Bullet. The interest rate is the percent. Bullet. The principal is the total. Compounding interest. Compound interest is different from simple interest because you are not just adding interest to the original deposit or initial investment, but interest is being added on top of the interest that has already been added to the principal.